One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And then Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And Jesus entered the synagogue. Oh, now he's in a different place. He's in a synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to him, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Again today in our gospel reading, he's not doing things the way he's supposed to be doing things, according to the religious elite of the day. You know, the Pharisees were among the groups of the religious elite of Jesus' time that thought they actually knew more about God than they really knew about God. I suppose we should title this message, "Beware of Religious People." Because certainly, again today, we see how Jesus has more problems with the religious people than he has with everyone else. And this is the ironic thing about it. I mean, think about this. God shows up in flesh and blood to fulfill all that was promised in the Old Testament. And you would think that among all the people who would welcome that, the ruling religious elite would be the ones that would welcome it the most. And they are the ones that don't. They thought they knew more about God than they really did. That was their self-deception. And so when Jesus, this rabbi, shows up and does things differently, they're throwing flags, they're crying foul all the time. Not understanding that even their own ways were against God's ways. They didn't know that. They thought they had it all figured out. And again today, they're struggling with the way Jesus is keeping the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is important. We heard it this way. "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." No work. No work. Stop what you're doing and remember what I've done. Again, stop what you're doing and remember what I've done. So here's the rub. This is where they failed at it. They stopped what they were doing and they celebrated how they were keeping the Sabbath. Okay? And they thought they did a better job than Jesus. In fact, Jesus wasn't doing it at all. He was eating food, getting the grain and chewing it up, and then he was healing a man who had a withered arm? It's all about focus. Dear Lord, help me to drive this through. Stop working and remember what God has done. Stop working and remember what God has done. They stopped working and they kept remembering what they had done to keep the Sabbath. Do you see the problem? It was still all about them. They were working even when they weren't, and they thought that that was pleasing God instead of remembering what God had done. Here's how God said it. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. A mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Stop working and remember that everything you have is because I delivered you. Stop working and focus on God. And then, of course, Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is important. Jesus fulfilling the Sabbath. Aren't you glad Jesus continued to work until all of your salvation was completed? Amen? He did not rest until the work was done, and then he was seated at the right hand of God. When you think about how Jesus fulfilled the Sabbath, in a sense now is our Sabbath rest. How often do you need to rest in the completed works of Jesus? In other words, stop working and remember Jesus, how he delivered you. How did it go? With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. How many ways in your life during the course of a day do you get exhausted? And you're just worn out and frizzled to the end. At that very moment, guess what you need? Sabbath. You need to be still. Cease striving. And know that God is God. Rest. I mean, don't wait until the seventh day of the week. Depending on how you count weeks. Stop. I mean, how many of us driving around the Metroplex need to rest in Jesus during the trip? And what's the difference between resting during the trip and grinding your mind through every inch you take in the car? And so Jesus is our rest across the spectrum of our human experience in life, across everything. Where in and among all those details, there are places where we get so worn out. Kind of wish I would have listened to my sermon a little bit more on Thursday after I picked up my sister and her husband flew in from Montana with my mom for Van's graduation. I was driving 121 and then I got to 423. We had to get Max from work, and that 423, my goodness, I was so wrapped up, you know. Needed this sermon last Sunday, I think. Kept thinking, gosh, I'm so agitated by driving. I'm used to this by now. Do you ever get used to that kind of driving? No, you always need to take a Sabbath rest driving around the Metroplex. I oftentimes remember that, and I was struck by how restless I was. Of course, the Metroplex gives us all kinds of reasons to be worked up and stressed out. Maybe that means we should learn like no one else does in Texas what it means to rest in Jesus. Amen? Problem is that the Metroplex gives us all kinds of a plethora of opportunities to be filled with restlessness. How ironic. And yet, Jesus is our rest. There are times in your life and my life when we're fit to be tied and all of a sudden we have peace. Guess who showed up and gave us Sabbath rest? And then there are times when you and I are so engaged in something we're trying to figure out, it's just working us up, and finally the Holy Spirit turns on the light and says, you're a mess. You need a rest. And we say, thank you. Thank you for reminding me, Holy Spirit, I need a rest. What a gift it is in the Christian faith to know that the Sabbath is not a destination in a day or at the end of the week, but it's a place that is with us wherever we go. Jesus, our Sabbath, rest. And he worked, and he delivered us. And he's the place where we can stop and say, Lord, you lay down your life for me, and I know that you will carry me through this in more than just spit and grit, but in hope and peace and joy and love, to live out my life in your strength and not my own. And we can do that because we know this, that when Jesus went the way of the cross, God's restless wrath would be fully unleashed upon the only one not deserving it, so that his wrath against you and me would come to a complete rest in his Son. And as the wrath of God was being unleashed, crushing the Son of Man, the Son of God, a peaceful rest was coming into your life and my life in our relationship with God that would never be roused again and awakened and filled with all kinds of stress between our God and our life. Your relationship and mine now with God is one of peace and rest in Christ. It's always there. We always have it. Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath, is our Sabbath. He's our pillow. Wherever we go, whenever we need him. Hold me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Settle my heart and mind that's racing and restless over X, Y, Z. That's what it's about. But what does this rest look like? You know, I was thinking about it this last week and thinking, you know, it's about our lives. And you know, your life and my life, there are so many things in your life and my life that it just seems like you can't get to this, you can't get to that. Oh, I need to talk to this person, I need to see them. You know, we find ourselves so scattered. How do we deal with all those things? And the word that I have for that rest is learn how to wait with God. And this is what it looks like. This is Isaiah 40. God's people long ago, his church was experiencing a time of prosperity, but there were things happening. The wheels were starting to fall off the church. And the church was developing kind of an attitude against God. And guess who's listening to his church develop an attitude against him? God. Their liturgy, if you will, was getting to be pretty cross with God. In fact, they were getting to the point where they thought as the church that God was, well, forgetting them. And so God, through the prophet Isaiah, sought to minister to them and to help them remember there's a place to rest and that God was their rest. And so this is how it goes. So God, speaking through Isaiah to the church, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? And this is their liturgy. This is what they were saying to each other. Became the voice of the church. This was the song they were singing. I almost have to say this with a whine, but I'm not going to. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. We are God's people, and he's forgotten about us. He doesn't see us. That's what they were saying. And God heard it, and now God wants to minister to them and help them to think differently about their relationship with him. So God brings them into catechism class, you know, the place of questions and answers. Have you not known? You know, his rhetoric is kind of striking. Don't you know? Have you not known? If anybody should know, it should be the church, these truths. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. So he reminds his precious people that he is the creator. You know, it's almost like, yeah, we forgot again. We forgot who you were, God. Thanks for the reminder. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Oh, that's good news. Good news. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't wear out. Anybody faint? He'll give you power. Any of you struggling with weakness? He'll give you strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord. So it's all about waiting for the Lord. You know, when we don't wait for the Lord, whatever we're trying to do in our own strength and power, in our own wit, in our grit, our muscle, our might, our money. We push our way around. That's not the way God's people are to live out their lives. It's to wait on the Lord. There are all kinds of things in your life and my life just demanding attention. And we've got to learn to say, I must put this on the back burner with God. I'll have to leave this to God until He opens a door, until He makes a way. To wait on the Lord is what it's all about. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does resting in Jesus look like? It's waiting for the Lord. It's after you've spent 2 hours wrestling over something that you need to talk about with one of your friends or family members or someone at work. You say, Lord, I'm just fit to be tied. I need to wait for you to clear the cobwebs in my brain and all the things that I've gone through. And I need to wait so that I can move forward in peace. That's what the Sabbath rest looks like. So, you know, to wait on God, no time is lost. Wait on. To talk with God about the things that are stressing you out, no breath is lost. Talk on. And to walk with God through the course of your day instead of trying to do it on your own, no strength is lost. So walk with Him. He's our Sabbath. Gosh, I've had this pillow since I served the church in Louisiana. One of the members made it for me. I've had to sew a couple of the letters back on. But you don't need to have a pillow with Jesus on it to rest. Jesus is our pillow, and He's our rest. You know, when Laura Riano was dying, she gave testimony of what it means to wait. She wanted to go really bad, but she had to wait. And so she waited in the Lord. How much of your life and my life is the same? Gosh, all of it, right? Except for where we're trying to push ahead on our own strength, but then we realize how pointless that is and how it wears us out. So Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest. And we can rest in His embrace anytime and anytime we need it. Driving around the Metroplex, dealing with challenges at home, in the midst of the uncertainty that we can have in so many different ways. Hold me, Jesus. Give me rest. Because His work is done. And it's in what He's done that we have peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.